everyone, and welcome to Thursday Live Lesson. My name is Aldrin Guerrero, joined by Mr. Aaron, the voice, Nakamura. Say what's up.
What's up?
And Mr. Kahai, the legend, Furrigan. Say what's up.
What's up?
Hey, the boys are here. We are... Oh, my voice cracked. Speaking of boys. My voice cracked for a second there. Well, the boys are... The boys are here, and it's ready. And it's time for Thursday Live Lesson. How are you, gentlemen?
It's like the literal meaning of boys, like prepubescent
boys. Boys crack. The boys. Yeah, since this is an audio, you know, also an audio podcast, it's great that we're doing that.
Right off the bat. Please don't tell my mom.
Right on, guys. Hey, what's up, and welcome to Thursday Live Lesson here on UkulaOnTheGround.com. What we do here is we answer any and all of your questions. We are live. It is Thursday Live Lesson. That means you can watch us live. If you are a UU Plus member, just sign in, you watch the live show, and you can even ask us questions live, because what we do in the show is we ask, you know, we answer all the questions, whether it be through email, through the messages in Ukulele Underground, or you know, on the street, whatever you want, however you can get these questions to us, we will answer them as best as we can.
But today our live chat is actually down.
Yeah, our live chat is down today, but you can click on the click on that green button. Just click on that green button, type us a message, and we'll get it, and we'll answer it, as you know, in the live show. Okay, so you can use that as a chat, because that goes directly to us. I guess you can't chat with each other, you know, with other people in the chat, but you can't talk to us and you can't ask us questions. And today's going to be a pretty filled episode. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. We have student reviews. We got questions. I got a story for you folks, and we got songs and stuff. So let's. What do we tackle first, Kahai? You're the showrunner right now.
Why don't we do the student review?
Okay, let's do it. So we got a student review. Student review is if you want us to take a look at your, you know, at your technique, or if you want some like feedback on how you're doing, make a video of you playing something, or something that you're having a hard time with, or something that you're stuck in, and we'll take a look at it. You know, put it. Did they post it in the forums?
No, this one was like just sent directly.
Okay.
To us.
Yeah, so you can either post it in the forums or send it to us directly. We'll take a look at it and we'll give you some feedback. All right. So usually it's good to post it in the forums, because other people can kind of give you some advice as well. And if we, if we give you advice on how to make it better, or some feedback into how to maybe hold the course certain way, it's better so that people can have kind of like a reference, just in case other people are having the same kind of problems or issues, right?
Yeah, but you can definitely just send it to us.
If you're shy, you're like, oh, I don't really want people to see me. We understand.
Yeah, cool. Or like some people send us like pictures instead,
because they
can't send videos or anything. Right. And it's a good way too if you can't do like one-on-one coaching or private lessons.
Yeah,
that's what we tell people to do.
Yeah. All right. So who is this? Who's this person that sent in?
James. So he actually sent us the last one we did with Mike too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. So okay. Yeah. All right. So James, I took a look at your video. There's a couple of things that I would improve upon. First, he sent us two videos, right? Mm-hmm. So the first video he sent us and how to, you know, kind of have your left hand position. So here's, you know, just rule. This is what he did. So he basically played a B flat, which looks like this. He had his, you know, he had his kind of thumb all the way up here playing that B flat, which, you know, he's not wrong, because he's still using like his this part, the pillow on the neck. So he wanted to do the pillow on the neck. He's playing B flat. And then he had another, I think, an F chord, and then he played this F chord.
I think the B flat chord was like that.
Yeah.
The B flat
was like that. Was like this. Like
stretched out. Yeah.
I thought the B flat was like this, and then the F.
I think
he had his thumb behind on the B flat. It was just that his hand was out.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think it was like a E.
Yeah,
his minor.
Well, what was the first two chords? Show me the. Do you have the video? Show me the first two chords, because I basically made my judgment on just the first two chords that he played alone. So on the, let's see. Sorry guys, for all of you folks who are watching and stuff. Let's take a look at it, because we don't want to give the wrong advice. So let's.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so the.
He's got.
Oh no! This is the. Show me the other video.
Yeah.
Show me the other video.
Yeah. Sorry.
So I think he played like an F too. Like this,
mm-hmm. And then he went, and then he went B-flat to the B flat, like,
and then he went like this.
Ah, let me see.
So it was the B flat looked kind of awkward because he was he kind of had his wrist down,
right,
and then his.
This, I remember like one was here and the other one was here. Yeah, that's kind of
this
all
finger
I really
was okay. Straight.
Yeah. Right. So it's the opposite of what I just said. And then E flat.
Yeah.
So he on E flat he goes like this.
Yeah.
And which is like fine. Which is fine. E flat he goes like this. B flat he went like this. And then E flat he went like this. Okay, so you gotta be careful of like moving your wrist too much. I always tell people to just kind of relax, you know, you relax your wrist and see if you can keep it as straight as possible. Because the more angle that you're giving this this wrist, the more chances of you actually injuring or hurting it, or even just putting like unnecessary stress on that wrist. Okay, so what I like to do, see, I'm keeping my my wrist nice and straight. The B flat chord, I'm just using all three of my fingers that uses the B flat chord and do that same thing that I did with the bar chord, which is like pinch your ukulele on the right side like this. My three fingers holding that B flat chord right here, but make sure to keep this nice and straight, nice and relaxed. Pull it back and just have your thumb right here. Okay, so nice B flat. It's not like, it's not here, you know? You're not doing that. Because if you're doing that, then you're actually gonna have a hard time like getting this E and A anyway. And then the fingers have to be kind of like straight, and this pinky is in an awkward position. So have it right here. Where if you see from this angle, my wrist is nice and relaxed, okay? And when you hit that E flat, what I like to do to keep myself from doing, you know, doing something like this, is from B flat, my pointer finger bars that first fret, and ring finger does
I think,
the top three.
Yeah, and I think he's trying to hold E flat minor, too. Mm-hmm. So he's like barring the top two, G and
okay, C. Yeah, we'll get there. So once again, show it one more time. One second, let me. All right, so from the B flat to the E flat, my pointer finger bars the second fret and keeps us down. Watch the wrist. Wrist is nice and steady. Thumb still in the back, not full on pushing or anything like that, but just kind of there to hold the position. If I let this go, it should still be fine, you know? I'm still holding the chords. You're still, you know, you're still getting those nice tones. We're not getting any kind of buzzing or not buzzing, but you know, muted kind of notes and stuff, B flat. But just like take your thumb and just let it hold from here, B flat. Watch that pointer finger position, see? To the bar, because you know what I'm doing from this side, so you can kind of see it from that side. From the B flat to the bar, then just letting that ring finger bend down with the E flat. That lets your wrist not take a beating, okay? And if you're going to E flat minor, like what Kai was saying, you can kind of make the E flat minor from there. If you don't like your pointer finger there, you can just kind of let you know.
Well, he was barring the G and the with his ring finger.
Barring the G with his ring
the
finger?
The G and the C. So he's kind of like holding it.
Oh,
and
like,
then
like this and then with
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so,
then he was like
here's another rule. I would never ever I just don't want to say never, but I don't recommend, there you go, I don't recommend holding the top like two strings with my ring finger. You're gonna run into some problems. One, because if you hold the top two and you're trying to clear the E so that you don't play the E, you're like over bending this this finger this way. You don't want that. And if you do kind of like bend it down like this, you run this risk of hitting the E. Is just not that efficient, and you're gonna run into that. If you're good enough to make it bend that way and not hit it, that's awesome, but it's so risky that I wouldn't do it that way. My E flat minor would be this instead. So going from E flat, I'm taking this ring finger, using that to play the G string third fret. Pinky finger comes around, don't do it from this angle. So from this E flat, if I want to get to a E flat minor, see that ring finger lifts up to play that G string third fret. Pinky finger goes down on C string third fret and down here. So from here to here. Look at my wrist. It's not doing anything crazy.
switching from B flat to E flat minor.
Okay, I don't know if it was an E flat minor because it didn't sound like one.
It sounded like E flat.
I think it was an E flat, and he just had his middle finger there.
I could hear it though. I could hear that note, like, and it sounded like when I was like trying to when I was picking along with it.
It sounded like he was hitting minor.
So he's like maybe doing this.
Yeah,
yeah, this is terrible.
Like, but he was like barring with his first finger too. So, and I think like I don't know if maybe this is how he learned it, but some people teach the D minor, right, where you bend the middle finger and you hold the
top. I mean, you can do that with your middle finger.
So I was thinking maybe
do that with my ring finger because my ring finger just doesn't or in so, general.
Yeah, that maybe that's how he learned it though. That's why, right? Like he transferred like anything else, right? Like the A to the B flat, and then he thought like the same thing. Like, oh, I can do it with my D minor too, and he tried to hold it.
Because I mean, one of the ways to kind of keep, you know, or hold that E chord. A lot of people have a hard time with that E chord is to use that knuckle on that E string and then kind of like, you know, lay the rest of that finger down to hit that, right? If I'm doing that with the, you know, with the C string, I'm trying to get that, you know, that knuckle. It's not gonna clear unless I, you know, lift this wrist up this way. Because if I have my wrist relaxed, like, you know, like I'm supposed to, then it runs into that muting of the E string. So, just to keep it, you know, keep it nice and steady once again, even if you want to just like bar this first fret, you know, so you have an easier time with all the chords, you can do B flat. So regardless if you're playing E flat or E flat minor, this should be how, you know, like you should do it. So B flat, regardless if you're using two strings or doing the bar, and then to the bar. So here's without the bar, and then to the bar, and then to the E flat minor. If you don't want to do the bar there, you can just take down. Totally fine. So those are ways to get to the B flat, E flat, E flat minor. B flat, E flat, E flat minor. Or E flat minor. Right? Wrist stays nice, relaxed. It's not doing this, it's not doing that, because that's going to cause you some problems later. So main thing is to see if you can figure out ways to not have to do this or that.
Yeah, a lot of bending with your wrist. Yeah, it kind of just looked like more the B flat was the one that looked a little awkward. So
just
kind of straighten up. And then instead of having like kind of straight, like a straight ring finger, you can kind of curl it and then kind of bring your wrist in. So that would really help.
Because
when he did his G minor, his ring finger was curled like in that proper position. Yeah. So it's kind of like doing stuff that he's already doing, but just kind of tailoring it to certain chords.
I was telling him, doing that wrong because
I sprained my wrist last night.
I was telling him that, like, even his F, because, like, his F looked really good. And or F and B flat are used a lot together, right?
Together.
So it kind of is that same position. And then I sent him a video where, like, Adam Neely kind of got this same question. And what he said to do, he plays bass, so it's a little bit different, but he said to, like, push your like, actually, like, put it at a harder degree, keep your headstock farther away from you, and it kind of forces you to make your wrist straight, right?
Because you're not going to push out your arm to make your wrist straight.
That's good advice. There's, like, some other stuff, too, he said, so... Yeah.
Okay, good. But yeah, those are, you know, one of the main things you should always consider is the position of your wrist and the position of your fingers. And if it feels awkward, it's probably awkward. But it's good that you ask, because sometimes it feels awkward, and that's just one of those that you just kind of have to get used to it. Like holding a B flat or an E chord, you know? But it shouldn't have to be funky here.
Yeah. I think that, like, Adam Neely, too, he said, like, it's kind of the same thing as you, is that you always want it to be like where your hand is just like this. It looks like
nice and
relaxed. Or your wrist hand. Anyway, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both hands, you know, like if I'm strumming and stuff, I don't want my hands to like tense up. It's just nice and relaxed, you know. You watch Jake, it's not like Jake's doing this or anything, you know. Like, Jake would have like a huge forearm.
It's very
nice and loose. Right? Is that right, Jake?
So James actually sent us another video too, yeah, specifically for like the E7 in Romance
D'Amour. So he's doing the. I forget what it is, yeah, over there, but so my advice here is that you're not doing anything wrong. Yeah, what you're doing is what you should be doing. It's just gonna take a little bit of time to make that a little bit cleaner. But if I were to offer a little bit of advice, is that this pointer finger can actually move. You have a lot of spaces to kind of move this pointer finger, even if it crosses back like this, because your ring finger is coming around to play that note. It doesn't matter how far back this A string goes. So you don't have to stick around to that 7th fret and try to force your way so that you can play a clean 7th fret and 8th fret. You just need to have a clean 8th fret. See, like, so when I'm doing, you know, if I want to like move back a little bit so that my ring finger can be inserted there, I can go ahead and go do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said, like, he feels, like, a little bit of tension when he plays that chord.
Yeah.
But I told him, like, that's probably pretty normal because he's not holding that chord. It doesn't look like he's, like,
it's
straining his wrist.
Right. And playing this, like, this right here is awkward.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that we just said that, like, sometimes it's going to feel awkward. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Your wrist is not in a weird position and stuff. It just feels awkward because you're trying to, like, hit that that fret at an angle. Because you can kind of see it if I have my finger this way. So this would be like normal. Like everything is, you know, kind of straight, right? But since I have to hit that that fret at an angle, keeping this pointer finger straight might cause it to be kind of hard. So if I kind of move that pointer finger just a little bit, it gives me more room. But make sure that your pointer finger is in the middle of the E string, because you don't want the E string to go back. You just want the A. So taking out the rest of my fingers, it just looks like this. So that E string is still there in the middle, but has a lot of room. It's kind of like scooching inside. Like imagine if you're like, you know, if you're like riding the bus and stuff, and there's like room for like three people, and there's already two people in there. Like, oh no, there's only three people in there, but one person can fit. So, you know, like if they just kind of scooch to the side, that fourth person could fit in there, right, Kahai?
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about like kids, right?
Yeah, off my personal space.
it is one of those things that like the more you play, the more you instinctively like will make room for your fingers or do certain things. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like it or just, I don't know. You'll get better at it as you play, and the chords that will just become easier to play.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and it's kind of like when you're learning a song like that, where it's pretty intricate. You start off playing it really slow, but the faster that you get at it, the more you'll just do things to make sure that you get there fast enough.
He's just learning the song, so it would probably be good for him to practice both left hand and right hand.
Yeah.
But I told him, like, if he wants to get good at that chord or he wants to feel more comfortable,
just work on the left hand.
Yeah, and you can totally, like, just hold your ukulele and hold that chord while you're, like, watching TV or doing other things that you don't need to use your strumming hand for or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah.
Or even just, like, simple, like, down strums. Mm-hmm. So you're not thinking about like the finger picking pattern on the right hand. All right. So hopefully that helps you out with those two problems and stuff. Do we have any?
So that one was Romance D'Amour.
Yeah, Romance D'Amour.
It's available as a UU Plus lesson.
Yeah.
UU Plus solo lesson.
So you guys want to check it out if you guys are interested in that song.
Yeah.
It's an awesome tune. Do we have any email questions or any kind of questions sent to us that we can answer? Or is there anyone in the chat that asked us a question?
Or not in the chat.
Or not, I mean, not in the chat, but
sent us
Well,
message on ukulele on the ground.
Maybe we should just remind anybody, because Jim came in like a little bit late and he didn't see that we told people to click on that button instead.
Click on that button.
Yeah, our chat is down. Our live chat is down. So if you want to send us a question,
that button is in every page of Ukulele Underground. Anytime you guys want to contact us, anytime, any hour of the day, Doesn't mean we'll get it at that hour, but you can shout out at that hour. Click on that button right there. It should come straight to us, okay? I have a question. It's kind of rare, but sometimes I do it. But I have a question. But I have to tell the story first in order for this question to kind of make sense. So I play at my Catholic church. You know, I've been playing there since I was, I don't know, maybe third, fourth grade, ever since I kind of started playing ukulele. I've been playing for that church, and I was playing this Sunday, and I got recognized with these two teenagers, like early teenagers, maybe 13, 14. And so, like, they come up to me. I'm, like, putting my stuff away. Mind you, it was a church, so, and I'm, like, in the back, right? These two boys come up to me, and it's like, oh, I'll dream. I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, I was like, oh, can, like, no, like, hi, how's it going? My name is, or whatever. Comes up to me, goes, oh, I'll dream. Can show me the picking to nectar.
Oh, that's...
I was like, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm not too familiar with, you know, with the tune and stuff. Like, I've heard it, like, you know, a few times, but I've never really tried to, like, work it out or anything. He's like, oh, I get the song right here. Uh-huh. And he's like, starts playing the song. I was like, oh, no, no, no. We're, like, still inside the church. Like, church just ended, you know, like, we don't really want to be playing our, you know, like, our iPhones, like, on full blast, like, inside the church. I was like, I'll just wait until, like, let me just put my stuff away. Like, I will, I promise, I'll help you out. Let me just put my stuff away, and, you know, I'll go out and go listen to song, and I'll figure it out for you. So he's like, okay, cool, cool, cool. So he goes outside, and I see him just, like, waiting. And but I actually had business at the church. I had to talk to the priest because I want to get my kid baptized. So... Mm-hmm. I go out, and because I see Father, and I got to talk to Father, or the priest. I go out, and then, like, he comes to me. He's like, okay, I'll drink you ready. He's like, actually, one more time. I just need to talk to Father real quick about, like, you know, for my kid. I need to baptize my kid. You know, you don't need to know that, but just wait. Okay, one second, wait. So we go, and actually, I had to rush back home for something because my wife had to go do something. You know, she had to meet up with a client. I have to rush home and watch the kid. But I promised this kid, and, you know, like, I always make it a point to at least give, you know, whoever wants to come up and say hi and stuff, give them at least a little bit of time. So I told the kid, I'm like, hey, I'll help you out now, but I only have maybe like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, if that's, you know, if that's okay to, like, to kind of do this, because I got to get going, you know, but I'm here, I'll help you out. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, he plays it on his phone and stuff, and Nectar is a pretty easy, I think, like, 3-4 chord song, so right away, I get it, and he's, like, impressed, because, like, I listened to it, I didn't play right away, like, I heard the chord, and my ears are pretty good, especially if it's an ukulele playing, I can kind of tell, like, what chord that is. I get it right away, and he's like, oh, man, and then, like, I'm like, okay, can you play it again, what is it, the picking, and the picking, like, I pretty much got, and it's in G, so, you know, I'm just like,
just playing from the scale,
right, from that box, right?
Yeah.
So, here comes the kicker to this story. I told him, I'm like, okay, so I figured it out. It's like, it's nice and, you know, it's nice and easy, but I don't have time to go, oh, it goes like this and then this, because it's, you know, kind of, it's like 8 bars or 12 bars or something. So I'm like, I don't have, you know, that kind of time to be, and he didn't have a uke, so it's not like, so I have to play it give it to him. It's going to take more time. So I'm like, you know what? You know, I asked him, like, oh,
film.
Yeah. It's like, do you, well, so I was like, do you know your scales and stuff? He's like, oh yeah. Cause I wanted this to be a teaching moment, you know? So it's like, oh, he's like, yeah. He's like, oh, no, not really. I'm not too familiar with my skills. I'm like, that's fine. Okay, but I'm going to show you something that's going to help you, you know, like, learn this faster. So I told him, remember these three numbers. Like, oh, now, these three sequence of numbers. 2-4, 2-3-5, 2-3-5. 2-4, 2-3-5, 2-3-5. 2-4, 2-3-5, 2-3-5. I told him over and over again, like, 2-4, 2-3-5. 2-3-5, and
so this is for the
picking
key of G.
Yes, a key of G.
Yeah.
So all, and I showed him. I'm like, okay. So even though I'm, you know, like, I don't have time to kind of show you, I'll show you right now. Like, he plays a song, and then, like, I play the picking. Or I forgot what, you know, how the picking goes, but it's basically kind of like that. It's not that, you know, it's not that hard. So I was like, okay, so if you just play this, see, like, everything's in there. And his friend's like, oh my, and like, oh my God, like, it is in there. And he's like, oh, that's so cool, you know,
that you did that. So 2-4 is the C string.
The C string. And And then 2-3-5
is the E string.
E string. 2-3-5 for the A string.
Okay. So that's kind of your box.
Yeah, my box. And all the notes are in there. You just gotta, like, if it goes, and I told him, if it goes higher, if it sounds like it's gonna go higher, just hit the next one, or hit the next one, or hit the next one, you know? But it's pretty much...
It's from those notes.
Yeah, it's from those notes, and I told him that, like, if it's gonna go up, it's probably the next note up, because he doesn't skip more than two. So I was like, you know, see, watch, and then I did it again. I was like, okay, cool. So he, you know, he goes like, but can I just, like, you know, like, can you just show it to me? And I was like, no, like, well, that's kind of what you, I got it, you know, I got to get going. He's like, no, well, can I just, you know, like, can I just video you, you know, like, doing the thing? And I'm just like, yes, but do you, like, understand, like, what I'm trying to say? He's like, he's like, no, can you just take a video, though? I'm just like, all right. Because I know that when that kid goes home, he's not going to care about anything that I just said about 2-4, 2-3-5, 2-3-5.
Yeah, but that's...
He's just going to watch it, and he's going to go, okay, this one, this one. He's going to, like, tab it out or something, and he's, like, he's going to learn it that way. Yeah. My question is, should I have just, like, not explained that at all? Like, the 2-4, 2-3-5, 2-3-5, and just been like, okay, take the video. Okay, here we go. You guys done? Okay, I'm going to get going. Or should I have just done that?
No, well, you like, you know the importance of that. Right. So it's good that you showed it to him, but you can't stop him if he's gonna
just look. Yeah, I do.
I
mean,
and that's exactly how you were when you were that age too. Right. So it's not like it's any different. You know? So it's good that you did it.
Yeah.
So if he picks up on that, if he sees the importance of that, even maybe years later he might realize, like, oh, that's what he was, like, he puts it together, two and two together. Like, at least you showed it to him. That doesn't matter if he gets it on the spot, like, in that moment. Right. Oh, you know, mind, like, blown. You know?
I think, like, if you had more time, like, you could have, like, done the thing where it's, like, you said, like, so, like, the reason why I'm showing you this is so that if you ever hear any song
in the
that
key of
sounds
G.
like this. Yeah. You don't know how to play it's like something these, like, you know, this or something, these notes or whatever. You know? But, like, it's hard. Like, you probably didn't have time to tell him that or, like, fully explain it, right? And so he probably just thought, like, oh, like, it's cool, but I just want to learn the song, like, you know?
Yeah.
And he didn't know the reason, the step behind, like, why he should do that. So, like, that's probably why he, you know, he might not, like, go into it further. But that's kind of, like, what the problem we always have. It's, like, we can lead horses to waters, but we can't necessarily make them drink.
That's what I was going to bring up and stuff. It's kind of, I've kind of been having that feeling lately where, like, I want to give somebody, like, that, you know, like, the tools to, like, get it themselves and stuff. But they just want, like, just give me the answer, you know, like, just... Like, give me the answer. Just show it to me. Like, show me the thing. Instead of, like, you know. But I knew it was going to come to that. Like, I knew that he was just, like, he's probably just going to ask me to, like, to give it to you. Which is fine, you know.
Especially because you didn't have too much time.
Right. Yeah.
In that situation.
Yeah. Like, that's age that we're in. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't know. Maybe just had a flashback of, like, if that was me back in, like, the 90s and stuff. Of course. If I had, like, a magic box that just, like, records stuff, you know, like, as soon as possible, or just, like, I can watch it over again, that would have been fine. But back then, somebody would just be like, oh, it's this. Like, I remember getting a Yuki no Hana lesson from Jake. Were you there and stuff? He's like, oh, it's this. He showed me twice, and then I was like, well, what key is it in? You know, and then like oh, it's an F, D minor and stuff. So I was like, okay, cool. I got like the basic gist of it, and then I went to go figure out, you know, the rest. But I was older then. But for these like 13, 14 year olds, of course, they want to just get the answer. But for some reason, I just felt like, I think, just try. Like, I want you to try. I want you to succeed. I want to lift you up and just, like, make you better. I'm making you a better global player. Take you to the next level.
Well, I think... And I think, like, for... It's almost like... instead of thinking, like, I don't want to give them the answer.
Yeah.
Like, because... Well, for that one, it's, like, a specific... Yeah. The answer is specifically, like, the song, right? You didn't want to just, like, oh, here. This is the song. Do it, you know? But, like, for... I know for, like... Some of our lessons, like Solo Secrets and stuff, right? Yeah. we kind of show the method first, and then we show, like, the secret is the revealed part afterwards, right? But I think some people, they kind of need to see the results first to understand why they're going to put in the effort for the, you know, like, what they're doing exactly. Because if they don't see the result, it's kind of hard. Like, what I think of is, like, little kids, right? Yeah. Little kids complain when they're like, why do we have to warm up? I don't understand why we got to do stretches and do, like, jumping jacks. Yeah, I just want to play soccer. But then, like, they don't understand that, like, if you don't warm up, well, little kids maybe not, but usually you don't warm up, you're going to cramp up and then, like, you're just going to be sore, right? So to avoid that, we're going to put in the work ahead of time.
So, I don't know, it was a pretty cool, like reminder to myself to, like, don't always be in teacher mode. Like, sometimes somebody just wants just that thing, so just show them that thing. I don't always have to, like, dive into, like, because I don't know, because I've been, like, in front of this camera for so long, I feel like I always have to explain stuff. But, like, some kid comes up, he just wanted that, so I could have just been like, oh, yeah, it kind of goes like this. Like, videotape, all right, cool, you good? All right, I'm going to go, you know?
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that's, like, he probably wanted that because that's what he expected.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you wouldn't expect anybody else to put in any more time than they would need to, so probably, like, it's just like that's his expectation, you know. It's not,
and
he didn't expect you to break it down
to get a lesson. I know, but I'm just so used to breaking stuff down, that's just what I do now, I guess.
and also too, it's just, it just depends on the listener, because you can, like, you know, when you go to festivals and teach workshops, it's like not everybody that's sitting in on the workshop is gonna get every single point that you make, you know. So you're gonna lay it all out and say what you need to say in order to get the point across. But like, everybody is in a different part of their growing as a musician. Some points will hit harder than others, you know. And so you gotta just put out as much as you feel is relevant, and what they take from it, that's going to be what they take from it, you know. It depends on the person, it depends on the listener and where they are in their musical evolution, because, like, if you don't understand like the really beginning stuff,
it is hard
you won't get the next part, but the next time that they hear it, maybe they'll get the next part.
I remember Audrey told me about that.
I think
so it's just and that's kind of the thing too that we've been talking about with Ukulele Underground. We have done a lot of things. We've taught a lot of techniques, a lot of different ways of approaching things, but sometimes we gotta go back and we gotta redo stuff that we've already taught, because you don't know where the listener is, and maybe they'll get it, you know, this iteration us explaining it. So,
or, like, a lot of times too, like, we'll do something and then, or, like, somebody will be like, or I have this problem, and then we help them on live lesson or one-on-one coaching or private lessons. But then we also tell them, like, oh, we also have, you know, this video in 102 where we cover that. Did you check that out? And they're like, oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, but we go over it anyway.
Yeah, and it's not their fault, right? No, it's just because, like, when we were doing 102 or when we were doing one of all those classes, they weren't a part of Ukulele Underground, they didn't even know about our videos. So it's like, just bringing up sometimes bringing up or redoing the old things is good, because like, they might be new to our whole, you know, our whole thing. So.
Yeah. Like, just last week on this show, we showed how to chunk.
That's true. So that's the 5,734th time.
But it might be important to that person, you know? So it just depends on your audience. Like, you know, you don't know how good that kid was. If you explaining it maybe that way, like, would have benefited him anyway, but you know, you just put it out there. Yeah, people, it's good that you put it out there.
Yeah, people in the messages are saying that, like, oh, it's good that you taught him the tools and you did it that way. But then also, like, too, it's kind of like, if you probably put yourself in that situation where you were a beginner then, it's like, you probably were excited just to learn the song, like, not necessarily the theory behind it, or, oh, let me
pushes up glasses.
Before I teach you this song, did you know that Row, Row, Row Your Boat is a canon? So let me teach you the whole history of canon. It's like
Ted Mosby'd it.
No, I don't. I just want. Yeah, that's like an over exaggeration, but like it is kind of. And it is like a good and bad thing for beginners to be excited to learn songs, but then also like it is good if they take their time to learn things beyond that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought it was an interesting like interaction that I had this weekend because, you know, I was like, huh, you know, I started thinking like, what would that have been that, what would that interaction have been if when I was starting, you know, starting out with the ukulele, if like for some reason, I don't know, Troy Fernandez started playing my church, you know, like I would go up to, I would do exactly the same thing, you know. I'd be like, oh my God, Troy, can you show me surf?
Isn't a more like, or not, maybe not more relevant, but something that might be more related to recently. Didn't you say that you asked Fingus to help you play a song?
I forget. And it's either like, that or like, no, I asked Fingers when I was a little kid.
And then he
how do you do finger jam? And he just like kind of played it. He didn't like teach it to me. He didn't tell me anything. Yeah. He's like, oh, it's like this. And he played it. I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then, like, I walked away. I'm like, man, that was awesome. I didn't actually learn anything. But, like, so I wanted to, like, actually teach this kid something. But maybe that's what he wasn't there for. Because for me, that's not what I was there for. I didn't actually want to learn that song. I just wanted to see him play it. Like, I just wanted to talk to him and make that interaction. So, I don't know.
But you did learn that song, right?
I did, by myself.
But just the fact that he...
Watching his video over and over.
Yeah,
so it was interesting. It was an interesting interaction. You know, it's pretty cool. I always get like kind of interesting interactions with people, and especially at festivals and stuff. People ask me questions. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So Kevin just said that he knows a G scale now, like with you showing the 2-4, 2-3-5, 2-3-5. Just to be clear, that's the G scale.
Yeah, it's a mode though.
Yeah.
I don't
it's
know.
It's starting on
Mixolydian. I think it's a Mixolydian mode.
Yeah, G. And it's starting on D instead of G. Yeah. So if you actually want to play G major, like the G major scale, you start on G instead.
I said that right. I think it is Mixolydian. The 5, right? 5 is Mixolydian.
Lydian,
Mixolydian. I learned things. So starting from the 5, ending on the 5, but in the key of G. So instead of starting G, you're actually starting on D, but you're using the same key signature, which is F sharp, one sharp F sharp. So I'm playing only one sharp F sharp, which is D, E, F sharp, G, A, B, C, D. Because if we were playing a D major scale, it would be a C sharp. But then that wouldn't be the same key as a G. So this is Mixolydian. And D.
Yeah. It just already too much information.
Yeah, too much. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I'm excited to like show it. I'm like, oh man, this is cool. But then like, nobody really cares.
I just wanted to play the G scale.
Yeah, so G Mixolydian scale.
But that's also the hard part too. Like when we explain stuff is because some people are just like, why are you giving everything? I don't want everything.
Yeah.
And other people are just like, I love it. Keep giving me more.
But that's because they're at that point, you know.
Or I think some people just do like explanations too. Because we've had beginners who say like, I don't really understand what you're saying, but I love it. Please like keep explaining.
Yeah, yeah. All of this is way over my head. But
it just depends on the person.
I enjoy,
So we try to hit like both sides where it's like, we explain a lot, and then other times, like with I think with 100, 101, and 102, we actually try to keep the theory more light, right? Yeah. So you don't need to know everything. Yeah.
All right. So hope you guys enjoyed that. That was. I'll see if I can do more stories and tales with a little twist to it. But so our songs were due last week, but we didn't do them last week. I didn't do them last week, but these two guys did, and we're finally ready to show.
I didn't do it last week either.
Me and Kahai did it last week.
Well, Kahai's computer died, that's why.
Yeah. Kahai's trying to make me look good.
He was working on his.
I just thought I didn't write anything. I had nothing last week. But I do have something today.
I'm also, but I don't want to get it too bad. Like, I don't want it to sound like, oh, I'm the perfect student. I go home and I do my homework same night.
No. You didn't have it completed.
I did a new song and I finished it today. Like, I came into the office and I worked on it at the office. Cool. So I'm not that great.
I finished it this week, but I tweaked out a little bit of it this morning just to, like, it's still a little bit too, like, the lyrics a little bit too much to, in order to kind of fit what I wanted to kind of play and stuff. But, all right, so this, this challenge, to just remind you folks what we were doing, is, we are in the key of D, and it has to have two majors and one minor. And as a reminder to everybody, it's going, D, E minor, F sharp minor, G, A, B minor, C sharp diminished, and D is the key of D. So those are your notes in the key of D. Those are your chords. And bonuses, write kind of a Beatles-ish song, or Beatles-sounding song. Have lyrics and fast chord change, you know, it's usually two or one beat changes. And you can have this riff of D, 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 E, D. So you can't...
I forget how it went already.
Yeah, me neither. So I didn't do that.
That's what it was.
Yeah, maybe I can put that in there. I can excuse it, maybe. All right, so for mine, there's like a million Beatles songs and a million different sounding Beatles songs. So it's kind of like hard to pinpoint like what a Beatles song is. So what I did was I just kind of picked two Beatles songs to kind of like base this tune around. And I always kind of liked the song Girl. Whenever, because I wanted to write like kind of an ukulele-ish song, and Girl is like just the most ukulele sounding song. So for those people who don't know that, it's like, I've used my story all about the girl who Wednesday. You guys know that song?
No.
Okay.
I just listen to it on YouTube.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, well, we can't play this stuff. So, but yeah, that's basically how it goes. And it sounds like a song that somebody would write on an ukulele. And George Harrison, being an ukulele player, I kind of did it that way. But that song's kind of all in like, it's all in minors and stuff. So I was like, well, I kind of want to write a major song. So I took the chords from "I Want to Hold Your Hand" because it's kind of like, you know, like quintessential Beatles, right? Everyone knows that song at least. And "I Want to Hold Your Hand," it goes to two different keys. That "When I touch you, I feel happy" is in C, and the "I want to hold your hand," that part is in G. So it's like two different. So I'm like, okay, why don't I do two different keys as well? And I did three. It was like this. So, the lyrics are totally not Beatles. I didn't go Beatles in the lyrics. I went like, "If I'll Dream Guerrero to write a Beatles song." It's just basically this stuff. "Hey Vincent, are you ready to meet her lover, significant other? The missus says he makes her so happy, he loves her, will do anything for her. So push it down, 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 push it down, down, down. The feeling, get your happy smile and wear. So push it down, 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 the feeling, get your happy smile and wear it. Hey Vincent, leave that gun in the closet, won't need it, she probably won't like it. The missus and you exchanging these glances, he dances round the subject of assets. Push it down, 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 that feeling, get your happy smile and wear it. So push it down, 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 that feeling, get your happy smile and wear it. Get happy, 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 get happy. Leave that gun in the closet, won't need it, she probably won't like it. The missus and you exchange exchanging these glances, he dances round the subject of acids. So push it down, 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 that feel it, get your happy smile and wear it. So push it down, 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 that feel it, get your happy smile and wear it. Nice. So I finally wrote, because I remember I was saying last time, I'm like, I feel like I've just been like color by numbers, like all my stuff, like phoning it in. So this one I actually want to try. So I'm like, okay, how about this? I'm gonna do three key changes. I'm gonna do a two verses and one bridge. Hot dang, I did it finally.
I think
that's me trying.
He said it's not really like Beatle-ish lyrics, but yeah. I think that was pretty like. Like how he kept the chorus really simple, right?
Yeah,
and your verses were like more complex. Like that seems like a very Beatles style. Mm-hmm.
So like, and even like sort of the rhythm of your lyrical delivery. Mm-hmm. What, some of it was like, very Beatles.
Yeah,
right?
Like how you are like if it's like come together, right?
Yeah.
Come together. It's just like two words, and then for you, it's just you did like push it down, like we're just keeping it three words, and then kind of changing the tempo of it. It's like, yeah, that sounds pretty, pretty Beatles-ish.
Well, you know, the song. I'm basically Vincent's. I am Vincent's, and it's like I don't want to meet my daughter's new boyfriend. You know what I mean? Like just.
I figured it was either about you or boy.
Like, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, boy. Yeah, boy could be like a thing. Yeah. But no, I've always tell people this joke whenever they're like, oh, so like, you know, like, how are you liking being a dad and stuff? I was like, oh, I love it. I love my kid, but like now that I have a daughter, I have to go buy more guns and stuff. You know, it's like, a joke. I'm not saying that I'm gonna go like shoot people. I'm just saying that like, oh, I need to be more protective, like need to buy more guns.
It's just like, like a statement.
Yeah, a statement. Like oh, nobody better mess with my kid. Yeah. That's basically it. You know, and this is like.
Jim just sent us like a gift
I'm trying finally. All right, so what's it go next? That's mine. Thank you.
I want to go next.
And who wants to go after Aaron? That's why I go first.
Yeah, I definitely phoned it in for this one. Sorry, guys, but it's okay.
Okay.
D, what are your chords, guy?
E minor,
it's 251 song I like, right?
No. I think it's 2-1.
Oh yeah,
5-1.
Then 2. Oh.
Yeah. I actually have it like here, so I can pull up the chords, but something like that. Yeah. Nice. And I
2-1-5-1.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I just wrote. I got the chords and I was doing synth things, and it kind of sometimes I'll like try and fight it, and I thought about like, oh, how can I do fast chord changes, and how can I incorporate that like riff and stuff, but it ended up not happening because it's just like one of those things where it's just like you gotta let the song be what it wants to be. And when I started making it more, I'm like, oh, this sounds like something that could be in like Blade Runner, right? And I'm like, okay, let me like already have some synths. Let me layer on more synths onto that.
Lead into it.
Like put in like 80s, and then really like should I add more drums? But then I was like, oh, let's just make it like that. So I had that bass kick, like a one kick, like just keep doing like the four on the floor. And then I had another one that was like accentuating 1 and 3, and I had like a high snare on 2 and 4.
Yeah.
So it was like doom, doom. So kind of like, and it just one of those things where it just like naturally builds, you know, more and more. So
sounded like a futuristic Pachelbel cannon.
Maybe like because I might have done like a cannon where. Done the same, melody, but like rewritten it a little bit differently for like parts 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But I just made it like so it just kept layering, got bigger, and then went descending. You know, it like thinned out again at the end. So yeah,
that's cool. It's cool, man. Good job.
I think how I write music too. I try to write it like kind of for video games or like with that idea in mind, where. Is like you can kind of take the stems of the songs that I write, and then you can use the stems individually to like build to like a battle part. And then you can pull out some parts. So I think I always naturally like kind of revert back to that same idea.
That's kind of your process in the back of your mind.
Yeah. Or like I'm thinking like, how do I write it cinematically or for a story or something, you know? So.
One thing that I forgot, I forgot to say the chords that I was using last time. I just got kind of carried away. It's a D, B minor, E minor, A for the verses, and then it goes to A minor to D7 to G for the chorus part. And then the bridge is D minor and G. So it's like, I'm in a key of D, then I'm in a key of G, then I'm in a key of C. Because that D minor to the G, like that would, but I didn't hit the one just to kind of make like that tension to end on that kind of end the phrase on that 5, not wanting to go, and then just goes back to D minor. Because it's like the lyrics are get happy, like you're supposed to build yourself up, like oh come on, just do it for your kid, like just get happy, it's fine, you're fine. You're like building yourself up so that minor and then the G kind of gives that tension back to the minor and then the tension, and then it goes back to the. Okay, cool. Aaron, I don't want to look at the lyrics.
So,
I want to experience this.
So this song is titled Nora Jane, just because I kind of wanted like a 60s female name. Yeah. But so when you said Beatles, I started trying to like listen to a lot of Beatles and stuff like that, and then I got super intimidated just because it's the Beatles.
It is.
there's a movie out right now where the premise of the movie is that if the Beatles never existed, you could give all the Beatles songs to like a no-name like average man,
and
he would become a pop superstar. So it's like
intimidating.
You know, like. Just the legacy of the Beatles was just too much, and I was trying to write it and nothing came out. And so I was like, well, like maybe what if I just take it easy on myself and I write a Monkees song instead.
Like a Kmart Beatles.
I like the sidestep. Like it's like
It's Beatles influenced and inspired, obviously less but pressure.
Less pressure. Yeah.
Okay. So I wrote kind of like a Monkees song. So it's a Monkees song called Nora Jane.
Okay, cool.
I'm ready. And I probably won't hit all the notes because I hardly ever sing in the key of D.
Like, yeah, it's hard.
So it's
hard.
Like, yeah, it's hot, high. It's like...
Monkeys. You kind of did something else though that it's like, it's funny that the prompt was like to make a Beatles song, we had to write short chord changes, right? But when you were playing that, I was like, oh yeah, Beatles does use like a lot of songs where they just stay on one chord for most of the song. And then it's just like, just stay in C sharp minor for most of the song, and then it's like, oh, play A and E a little bit.
The riff is like partially stolen from Last Train to Clarksville.
Okay, you know? Yeah.
And then there's like another song called Take a Giant Step or something from the Monkees, which is very similar.
Okay.
And then I was just thinking of like a scenario that the Monkees would be in. So it's kind of like, you know, they're... Like one of them falls madly in love with some girl, and then the Monkees are having their antics going on, but like this guy can't do anything other than
So I can see the music video.
Probably like Davey
So
that was kind of the idea, and then I couldn't when I was thinking of the name, I was trying to come up with like a 1960s, like a stereotypical 1960s girl name, and so like I went with Nora because that's Aaron backwards. that's a very kahai thing to do.
Man, that's cool. Man. That is cool.
That's smart.
Plus 50 points goes to Gryffindor. 50 points for Gryffindor. Oh man. So good. So tell us about the chords.
Oh yeah, so it was basically just that D7. I went with the 7 for it. And then I went to what is that, like D7, then E minor to the A. And then the ending was the chorus went to G, and then back to D7, and then like the A, and then the ending chords were C, B minor, A, which isn't necessarily the key of D, but it's kind of like a chord change that they would use during that time period. You know, so it kind of melts into that
to the A
to the to the five so that you can come back to the one. So it's kind of like that.
It's cool because it plays around with the sevenths, you know, in the beginning and stuff. So you kind of get the feeling that it's gonna give G because the thing that wants to like the tensions that want to go to that But then like because you're doing the riff to it, it's like okay, that's like the blues one. Yeah. And then he gets to like the like a four, and it's cool. It's nice. Yeah. And it kind of plays with it.
So that was kind of the idea. Mm.
And when you hit the A, it's kind of doubles as like the. The major second of the key of G, but then it's like a five. So good.
I listened to after that. I listened to like a lot of Monkey songs, and then and I just felt better. Like you know, sometimes when you're writing a song, you just can't force it if it's not coming out. So it really wasn't coming out with the Beatles. So I was listening to a lot of Beatles, different eras of Beatles, and nothing was coming out. And then once I let myself just like. Play and have fun. That's when the song came out. So
even when I was writing this song, like I started off and I think I had like a synth or something, but then I started putting on like, you know, orchestra stuff, so strings and like horns and percussion and everything. And I had all the layers for it, and I was gonna start writing, and then like nothing was happening. Right, like it was just like, oh, what is going on? But then when I played that first like synth line, or I put the chords into like a synth instead, I was like, oh, okay, I hear where the song is supposed to go now. And like I just got rid of all that orchestra stuff, like forget all that. Don't need that anymore.
I was taking myself way too seriously.
Like no okay, I got it.
Oh man, that's cool. Good job, guys. See, the extra week helped.
For me, for like having these like deadlines definitely helps. Because I think normally I would have like started a song like this, hit that point where it's just like nothing's coming out on orchestra, and just been like, okay, call it a day and close down my my program and gone to sleep. But like since this one, like for this song, actually I woke up at 2 like this morning. I started writing the song. Till like 7 and then I took a break and did stuff, came here, and then I worked on it a little bit here too. So
sleep, kahai, different reasons than me though.
Well, like that's just like I'm not a good like school kid. Like I definitely put on my homework until the last second.
All nighter for that song.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So let's just establish a new challenge, and then I think we can call it a day. We're already kind of past 2, but let's establish the new challenge real. Wow. I'm gonna use this.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna wipe this off.
Is it gonna come off?
Yeah.
Just down there.
The spray?
Yeah. There it is.
Okay. So we had an idea of instead of using like, oh, here's the genre that you guys are gonna play in. This time, today's challenge or this for this challenge. It's going to be subjects. So we're going to write. So it's, I guess, like, if lyrics are going to always be an extra or a bonus point, then that means we can see if we can write about a certain subject. Because, you know, we always kind of write about different stuff. But you can write in whatever genre that you want, but it has to be about this subject. Now pick the subject, Kahai, because it was right, Kahai, that's what you're saying.
Establish
the subject instead of the
I thought it might be good to set something, because I think that's something that's hard for people, is like, what do I write about? So I kind of wanted to make it something general enough that people would like, no matter who they are, they could, you know, understand that. And like, so
let's establish a key first, so that while we're thinking about that, what key should we do this in?
Would it be too easy to do G? Because we just talked about the G scale and doing the G mode, right? And
okay, stuff. Yeah, G. Sounds good. Key of G. For G unit. Okay, so let's do it the opposite. Let's do 2 minors and 1 major.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So at least 2 minors.
And 1 major. So at least 2 minor chords in at least one major chord. I'll write out all the chords in G, which is G, A minor, B minor, C, D, E minor, and F sharp diminished. There we go. I always get ambitious, like, in the beginning, where, like, I'm going to space it out a lot, and then it's, like, smaller.
Squeeze it in at the end.
All right, so that's all you need, okay? That's the challenge, basically. But we're going to add some extras, and what would you like the extra to be? So lyrics, as always. Extras, or bonus. Lyrics. So what's the subject, Kahai?
Since it was a...
I don't know.
So if you don't have your lyrics, your song still has to feel like this subject?
As long as you write, like...
That's part of the bonus.
Yeah, it's part of the bonus. The subject is part of the bonus.
Like, you...
Yeah. Because, like, the Beatles, like, kind of was part of a bonus. Like, you didn't have to write a song on Beatles. So you don't have to write in this subject, but we're just kind of giving people an idea of what to write about. Usually people are like, what do I write about? What am I going to do with it?
Should we go with the ultra generic, like what everybody writes love songs?
Are we talking about lovey doveys? Let's put a twist to it. Let's make it fun. Or what about love?
I thought you were saying that's going to be the subject. What about love?
What is the let's see.
Well, I was gonna say like love/heartbreak because that's the general, right?
Okay.
So you can do like either or like a combination of both or something.
Okay, love and or heartbreak. That's good for a first one, you know, and we can make it kind of a little bit more complex later on. So love/heartbreak, right about that. The lyrics, and then I'm going to put a arrow. Not at heartbreak, but at love and heartbreak. So, what other extras can we think about, guys? How about a stop in the song where, like, you stop and then you
or
say
a false word. End?
Oh, stop! False end sounds great.
Because
you know what my favorite false end is the song by Flight of the Conchords, like something about like paper, like brown paper, white paper, stick it together with the tape of love. And then they do like, when you think it's over, then like they build it up with brown paper, white paper.
False end.
So, okay, false end, that's a good one. What else?
I don't think we've done a key change in a while. You want to do that?
Key change.
Because we did a...
Did that for this challenge.
Yeah. We did time changes, like, a few times,
right?
But I don't think we did key changes.
All right.
There it is. So, you have your challenge, you have your missions, if you choose to accept it.
Do we want to say when we're going to do it, and then when...
We're going to do it. It's due for us in 3 weeks. It's due for them 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So, for us, it's due, what, on the...
3 weeks.
25th.
So, is that when it's due?
Yeah, 25th. And then for them, it's due on the 1st of August.
Okay.
Right on. Here it is. So go up there and make some music. Make some lovely, lovely, lovely original music. All right, everyone? All right, so I hope you guys enjoy this this episode. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
Kevin pointed out that some people actually did do the challenge for this last
time. Yes, so all the...
Actually, we are not going to be here, right, on the 25th.
I think we are going to be here.
We leave on the 20th.
We leave Friday.
But I don't
Thursday.
Know if
you, yeah, yeah.
Is that like too close or
it's fine. We're not doing anything that day.
Okay. Yeah.
So about the other people who did Kahai? What were you saying?
Oh, no. There's just some people in our forum who actually did do the...
There's more and more. Like, Kevin is a new face that, you know, that I've been kind of seeing, you know, write some songs and stuff. So, good job. For those people, for those people who hasn't put in anything yet, you have 1 week to submit something. And as you kind of saw with ours, we just have fun with it. Just write whatever you want, as long as it's 2 majors, 1 minor in the key of D. Should be all good. Doesn't have to sound Beatles of D, right? There's D.
Oh,
key of G.
This one is G.
So, you know, we have 1 week to complete that. It should be super fun. I mean, like, I had a lot of fun, like, writing this song. And I know Kahai had lots of fun last night writing this song. You know, and it's cool. Now I'm going to call Aaron Nora, like, from now on. But thanks so much for watching. We'll see you folks next time. Tune in tomorrow for Aloha Friday Live Jams. Watch the new stuff that we've been putting out. We did Benny and the Jets lately. Follow us on Instagram at UkeUnderground. And we have a lot of cool stuff that we post. Instagram only, you know. So if you want to see my rendition of A Whole New World by, you know, from Aladdin, go check it out over there. We're going to be posting up a lot more content on our Instagram, so follow us at UkeUnderground, UKE Underground. All right, we'll see you folks next time. Have a good one. Aloha.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. That's right. I totally forgot that it was July 4th. Happy 4th of July. America.